Yeah, God, I just thank you for what today means. Because it's not just a big event that we throw every year to get people to join our church. It's not just a time where we get together and party. But what's special about today is what it symbolizes. What we remember happened over 2,000 years ago is that the one who died for us because of his great love didn't stay dead, but came back to life. And today, my prayer, God, is that we would not take that for granted. That what you won for us by resurrecting from the dead, we would live in that reality from this day forth. I pray, Lord, that we would live in the reality of your resurrection and that we would live lives to the fullest as you promised we could. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill this house? I pray that you would calm every rumbling tummy that's thinking about tacos right now. And instead, open our hearts to what you want to speak. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, y'all, the title of my message today is More Life. Everyone say, More Life. No, it's not titled after Drake's playlist. This is my sermon title. You know, when I was very little, I was a very strange little boy, okay? When I was in kindergarten, I remember two things that I did at school in kindergarten. The first thing was I had no friends, okay? I was a loner. And so every recess, right when the bell rung, I would run outside to this teacher that I had a crush on. Her name was Mrs. Karen. And for the whole year, all I would do is just run to her during recess, grab her hand, and just kiss it all recess. Yeah. I had game back then. I had game, okay? The second thing I remember is I had an unhealthy fascination with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Terminator. I was that kid that watched rated R movies at a very young age. And so I had this unhealthy fascination with Arnold as Terminator. And I had this dream in my mind as a little kindergartner that one day I'm going to get a motorcycle, put on sunglasses, and get a leather jacket, and I'm going to ride around. And I thought that would be the greatest thing. And luckily, at our kindergarten, at our school, they rented out little tiny tricycles. And so I remember when I wasn't running to Mrs. Karen to kiss her hand, I was bringing my sunglasses to school with my Bugle Boy jean jacket. And I would put my sunglasses on, ride on the tricycle, and pretend I was Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator. So I'd be riding around, bad to the bone, boom, 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 bad. I would do that all recess. And so all year, it was a mix of kisses. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but 2 years ago, something profound happened. See, my friends invited me to come hang out, and they showed me this mobile app called Scoot. And it was the most amazing thing because I don't know if you know what Scoot is, but you open up your app and there's scooters stationed all throughout San Francisco. And what you do is you rent the app and you turn on the scooter with your phone and then you ride around the city on a moped and it goes 35 miles per hour. Well, when I rode on this scooter 2 years ago, it changed my life because it resurrected in me that dream that I had when I was a little kindergartner. And I swear I felt like I was Arnold. I felt like I was Terminator, and I'll never forget the feeling of riding throughout the city, the wind blowing through my face, seeing all the beautiful sights, going 35 miles per hour except when I'm going uphill because I weigh too much and so it slows me down, gravity gets a hold of me. But I'll never forget as we were riding through this beautiful pathway and there were trees arching over the path. And the sun, the rays of sunlight were peeking through the trees. And the wind was blowing in my face, and I could smell the blossoming flowers. I remember thinking, something inside of me feels so alive right now. I just remember riding on this little scooter thinking, I feel like something inside of me is coming alive. Have you ever had one of those moments where you do something, or you are somewhere, or you see something, or you're with someone? The only way that you could describe it is, I feel so alive. I feel like I'm coming alive. Now, I wanted to look like that. The reality is I actually look like this. And so, It didn't quite go the way I had it in my head. But you get the picture. What I'm talking about is every single one of us has experienced that moment, right, where we feel alive. And what I want to tell you today is that feeling of being alive is at the center of our faith, okay? And that's what we're going to get into. Now, yesterday, I had the awesome privilege of being one of the three best men in one of my best friend's wedding. And during the entire ceremony, it was so beautiful, and I could not stop crying. Like, seriously, I was up there on stage, and I was just trying to hold back my tears. And part of it was because it was a beautiful thing to see my best friend getting married. But I'm not that selfless. Actually, the real reason why I was crying is because 1 year ago, I was at the exact same place he was, standing at the altar. Dang. And then I just remember, like, as soon as I saw Krista walking down that aisle, you know, it was the most alive that I've ever felt. As she was walking towards me, I mean, you should see the pictures. I was, like, not just crying, I was, like, ugly crying. I was like, but the reason was, there was someone standing in front of me that makes me come alive on the inside. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you think of that one time or those few times where something just made you come alive? It could have been a place. It could have been a person. It could have been an activity. The problem is, these moments where we come alive, for most of us, are so few and far in between. You know why our generation is so nostalgic? I don't know either. We're just weird like that. But we always remember the past and think, it's this glorious time. Why? Because these moments of us coming alive are so far and few in between. But what I want to tell you is that Jesus gives us access to a life. We're not just those few moments we came alive, but that every moment could be a moment where we feel alive, where every moment we could say, this is why I live. This is what I was made for. This is why I'm coming alive. Jesus gives us access to that. Now listen, when I was in college, a really famous movie came out. It was called Avatar. Y'all remember Avatar? That movie has not aged well. I don't know if you watch it today, you'll be very disappointed. Anyway, at the time though, it was groundbreaking technology, and what it did is it took you into this world called Pandora. And Jake Sully was this blue alien. He went into a blue alien body. It followed him around on this Pocahontas adventure. And it was a beautiful movie. And I remember there was so much hype around it because this is one of the first 3D movies that really set the stage for 3D movies in the future. But I remember I was sitting in that theater and I was watching this one scene where Jake Sully, you know, he's trying to prove himself to the tribe. He's trying to prove himself to the clan. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all went four times to see it. I'm not going to name any names, Isaac. But some of y'all went to go see it four times, right? Because it was such a beautiful movie. But I remember this one scene where Jake Sully found this mythical bird creature called Taruk Maktau. Okay? Y'all remember the scene? And he was trying to prove that he was part of this tribe and this clan. And so he was trying to mount this Taruk Maktau and bond with it so that he could fly it around, okay? And so I'll never forget, he was sneaking up on it, and you're worried, you're like, is he gonna make it or is he not? And then all of a sudden, he makes a heroic leap, he lands on the thing, and then they fall down a cliff, and it's like those cliffhanger moments, did he die? Did they fall? And then all of a sudden, whoosh, like you see him flying up, and I remember thinking inside my mind, this is the greatest moment ever. This is the greatest moment of my life. I said, this is the greatest moment of my life. I made a vow inside of myself after that day that I will never let a movie that I see or a TV show that I watch or someone else's life be more exciting and be more eventful and be more inspiring than my own life. I made a vow that day to live a life that is worthy of being said that I lived well. I will not let Avatar one-up me. Can I get an amen? You see, so many of us go through life, but we never really live. And I'm not just talking to non-Christians, people who don't believe in Jesus. I'm talking about every single one of us. So many of us go through life. How many of y'all on Mondays is your worst day? Ooh, can I get an amen? Preach, Pastor. Monday, I know. Because y'all really excited on your social media on Friday, but when it's Monday, you Garfield. You know what I'm saying? I know what it's like. You see, we were not meant to go through life being dead. We are meant to experience life and life to the fullest. You see, the truth is we're all biologically alive. We're all biologically breathing, living creatures. But the truth is some of us, we've just started to die on the inside. You see, death is so much more than the end of your life. Death can slowly happen to your soul if you're not careful. And you could go day in, day out, week in, week out, slowly dying on the inside. What I'm talking is about your dreams start to die. Your hopes starts to die. Your motivation starts to die. Your joy starts to die. Your purpose starts to die. And eventually you find yourself just zombie walking through life on autopilot mode. Y'all know what I'm saying? But this is not the life that Jesus calls for us to have. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 10:10. And Jesus says, I have come that they, speaking to us, may have life and have it to the full. And I say this all the time, but Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make the dead come to life. Jesus didn't come so he can make you a good person. Listen, if that's what you think Christianity is about, you have got it twisted. Christianity, our faith, is not about behavior modification. The truth is the Bible says no one is good. But what our faith is about is this, is that we were once dead, but when we met Jesus, something inside of us came alive. It's like that moment I was scooting. It's like that moment I was watching Jake Sully on top of Turuk Mukhtar. It's that those moments, that's the reason, the inside coming alive. That's why Jesus has come. See, no one really cares if you're good or not. No one really cares. I mean, if you invite someone to church and you just follow all the rules, but you have no life radiating from you, ain't no one gonna wanna come. You know, one of my favorite artists, his name is Noah Gunderson, or Gunderson, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he has this one song, and in it, the lyrics go something like, I look for Jesus in a stained glass church, and he goes on to say, all the believers, I couldn't look in their eyes, because there was such bitterness in them. What I find is that in our churches, we've put a value over rules that we feel like make us good over actually coming alive. And that is why Jesus came. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm done playing church. I've done church for a long time. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not here every Sunday at 8 a.m. and on every weekend preparing for my message for hours and hours. I'm not here because I'm trying to follow a set of rules and be a good person. I'm here because I met someone. I really met someone who's alive today that made me come alive. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not here to play church. I'm here because I found a life that I could have never known without knowing Jesus. I'm here because I'm alive. I feel alive. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here because I find excitement in life every time I come. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm done playing church. It's not about a list of rules that you follow so that you could be good in the eyes of God and the eyes of others. It's about coming alive. And listen, I have great news for you. If you have yet to experience that life, you're going to experience it today. Can I get an amen? You're going to experience this life that so many of us have been impacted by. So many of us are alive because of Jesus. And I love that the passage didn't just say that Jesus came to give us life. But it said, Jesus came to give us life to the full. Hey, look to your neighbor and say, to the full. In other words, Jesus didn't come to give us an ordinary, boring, square, uneventful life, and then we experience heaven, which is more life. Jesus didn't intend that to happen. The full life that Jesus was talking about was meant to be lived out here on earth. Let me tell you something. I think a lot of believers think that this life is going to be hell and then they'll experience paradise in heaven. But let me tell you something. The distinguishing thing about following Jesus isn't that there's a heaven. Because so many religions have heaven. The distinguishing thing about our faith is that heaven isn't a far-off destination. The distinguishing thing about our faith is the moment we say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden we live in heaven's reality right now. And so when Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the full, he wasn't talking about after you die and the angels take you up and the heavens open and goes, oh, he wasn't talking about that moment. He was talking about right here, right now, on earth as it is in heaven, here. He said, you could experience life and experience it to the full. I don't care if you don't believe in the Bible. Listen to my experience. Okay, I shouldn't have said that, by the way. Sorry, Lord. What I mean to say is this. I know some of you, you might not know Jesus, and so these words don't mean anything to you. But take it from every individual in here that's met Jesus. Just look at the evidence of life on our eyes, in our face. Do you see it on my face? This is real. Listen, this is real. This is not religion. This is real, real life. And this is the life that Jesus invites us into. Now listen, 3 days ago, we call that Friday Good Friday. I don't know, Christians have this weird thing about calling different days different things. But on that Friday, we call it Good Friday. And on that day, we remembered what Jesus did on the cross. And to give you a little backstory, the reason why Jesus had to come and die for us is because we are full of sin. Right? You place the best people that you can think of in a room, and there's no doubt, 0% chance that they won't end up hurting each other somehow after a long period of time. Can we be real? Even the best people that you know are flawed. And so why did Jesus have to come? Because we were flawed, we had sin. And the Bible says sin separates humanity from God. Sin separates humanity from God. And if you think about it, God is the person that we need to be with because he created us. Listen, I don't know how to live life, but I know if the person who made me tells me how to live life, he probably got the best insight on how I should live life, how much I could enjoy it. But what sin did is it separated us from God. But what Jesus did is he came and he said, I know that all these people have sin in their hearts. I don't have any sin, but I'm going to take on their sin. I'm going to be their sin, even though I did nothing wrong. And I'm going to die on that cross so that the barrier, the divide between us and God would be removed and that we could be reunited with God. That's what we celebrate. That's why we celebrate on Good Friday. And what I want to tell you is this. This blew my mind. Sin doesn't make you bad. Some of y'all are like, that's bad theology, Pastor Mickey. But the Bible actually doesn't say that sin makes you bad. What the Bible says about sin is actually worse. The Bible never says sin makes you bad, but the Bible says sin makes you dead. For the wages of sin is death. And so what we can conclude is that separation from God is not just, I'm a bad person, I do this and that, I lie, I steal, I gossip. It's not just that. Is that literally I cut myself off from the very thing that makes me alive. And so what is sin? Sin makes you dead. Sin doesn't make you bad. It makes you dead. But the beautiful thing is this. When Jesus died on that cross and he said it was finished, regardless of how idiotic and foolish we are in our lives, all of a sudden the path is cleared and we can make our way to God. We can connect ourselves to the source of life. We can connect ourselves to the one who makes us come alive. See, what I want to tell you is this. In Jesus' lowest moment on that cross, that was actually his greatest moment of victory. See, death didn't happen to Jesus. Jesus happened to death. Can I get an amen? Death didn't happen to Jesus. Jesus went willingly. It's not like something happened to you and he had no power over it. Jesus laid down his life. And death didn't happen to Jesus. Jesus happened to death. You know, we say Jesus died. No, death Jesus. Can I get an amen? Death Jesus. Listen, death was vanquished by Jesus. He told death, be humble. Sit down. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. It's okay. Listen, but that was Friday. That was Good Friday. Good stuff. But what we're going to talk about today is about Jesus rising from the dead. And so I want to explore John 20, and we have the verses up there. And if you could follow along with me, this is after Jesus was killed, crucified. He was wrapped up and put into a tomb. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. Really quick, I need to tell you something. Who's the author of John? No, it's Frank. No, it's John. The author of John is John. And actually, John has this funny thing that he does where he wants to be humble. And so he describes himself as the other disciple, okay? And so if we read that, it says, so she came, this is John writing this, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. He's just trying to be humble. You know, he doesn't want to name himself. And said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him in. And so they run to the scene. The stone was overturned. The body was gone. Jesus' body was gone. And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. And this cracked me up. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. You know, he's humble. He's not naming himself. But he's faster. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along like way after, and he's like breathing heavy. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. John is such a humble guy, right? What's happening here? Jesus died. And the disciples, they put all their eggs in Jesus' basket. You know, I remember in the playoffs, in the finals last year, everyone put all their eggs in the Warriors' basket. And this is out of no ill intent. I'm actually not a Warriors fan. I am a Lakers fan. But that's beside the point. I was grieving with y'all because everyone predicted that the Warriors would win the finals. And everyone cast all their eggs in there. They're like, there's no chance that they could not win. Their team is so stacked. Have you seen them play throughout the season? They set the record. They put all of their hope, all of their eggs in their basket. And then they lost. And I'll never forget the cloud of grief that covered the Bay Area that month. It's like the person they were counting on, the team that they were counting on to carry them all the way to victory, just could not carry them to victory. And so I know some of you are still healing from that moment, but can you imagine with me that these disciples, they walked with Jesus for 3 years. They saw him do miraculous things. But then on Friday, they saw the one that they put all their eggs in. Is that how you say it? I don't know. They saw the one that they put all of their hope, all of their dreams, all of their future in, die. Can you imagine what it was like for them? The grief that overcame them. They must have questioned, was this all hype? Like, was any of this real? But then they get here to the tomb. And all of a sudden, they go inside, And they see that the body of Jesus was not there. And at first it didn't register. But then all of a sudden they remember Jesus. He had said, 3 days, I'll be in the grave. But on the third day, I will rise. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure some of them were maybe doubting, but not John. John didn't doubt. John believed. But I can't imagine the feeling they must have felt knowing that we didn't make a mistake. It wasn't just hype. Jesus rose from the dead. And the beautiful thing is this. The tomb that was meant for Jesus was actually the grave for death. In other words, the tomb that was meant for Jesus and his dead body. All of a sudden, Jesus flips the script and he makes his grave the burial place of death. He said, death no longer has any power. In fact, I was supposed to be in this tomb, but I'm laying death in there instead. He's saying, I was supposed to be dead, but now that I have risen, I've overcome death, and now death is in the grave. I'm pouring the dirt over death. I'm pouring the dirt over the thing that was supposed to overcome me. I sense that some of you, there are parts of your life that to you feel dead. There are dreams that are dying. There are promises that you've been holding on to that are dying. There are relationships in your life that are dying. For some of you, maybe it's your health or someone that you know, their body is dying. For others of you, there's desires and hopes and aspirations that are dying. But if we see this verse and see the power of it, we can see that death no longer has any hold on us. It means this is the reason why the things that are dead inside of me, the things that keep me from feeling fully alive, the things that prevent me from experiencing life, I now have the authority through Jesus to put them in the grave. See, some of you have wrapped up your dreams and your relationships in linen because you thought it's not going to live. Some of you, you've wrapped up your desires and your hopes and your relationships, and you thought, there's no hope for this. I'm wrapping it up, and I'm going to put it in the tomb and put the stone in its place. But Jesus here is saying, guess what? You wrap those linens off. I'm going to take that thing out of the grave because it's coming alive, because I am alive. He's saying, I have resurrected from the grave so that every part of you, not just your soul, but every part of you can now be alive, can resurrect with me. That's the power of Jesus rising from the dead. And you know, I just sense that some of you also here, you started following the path and you started experiencing that life. But like we all do at many times in our lives, we took a detour and we walked off the path towards God. And at this moment, we feel far from God, and we feel like we're not near him. But I love that the Bible says Jesus is the way. I also have my own interpretation, which is not that Jesus is the way, but Jesus is the ways. How many of y'all use ways? The beautiful thing about ways is this. Even if you're deviating from the path that is set for you, and you decide to make a left when you're supposed to go straight, or go straight when you're supposed to turn right, you're lost for a moment and you feel like, will I ever get to my destination? But all of a sudden, you see that little line at the bottom rerouting you. Listen, some of you feel like you walked off the path that God set for you, and you feel guilty about it, and you feel almost hopeless. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is he is the ways. That he finds you where you're at. He finds you in your deviated path, and he reroutes you back to himself. This is some of you, you have to get this in your head. You can't be fully alive unless you're connected to the one who gave us life. Some of you, you've tried. You've tried, and you've always come up short. You've always ended up feeling empty. I'm here to tell you that when you're connected to the one who is your source of life, when you follow Jesus who makes a path for you to experience that life, there's hope for your future. And there's life that you could experience. Listen, wherever you're at in life, whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, that's fine. I think we can all agree that all of us, in one way or another, want to experience more life. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, more life. I think we can all agree that there are parts of our lives that feel and seem dead. But I believe what Jesus is going to do today, he's going to ask you, you know that place where you laid your dreams, where you laid your hopes, where you laid your desires? Go to that tomb. Go check. And I feel like you're going to outrun the other disciple. You're going to get there, and you're going to look, and all you're going to see are the linens on the floor. And the thing that you tried so hard by yourself to make come alive, you'll realize he's already done it. And you'll get to that tomb, and you'll see, my dreams actually aren't dead. But in Jesus, they're more alive than ever. You'll see that when I get to that tomb, my hopes and my desires aren't dead. No, they're more alive than ever. You'll get to that tomb and see those relationships that I thought were hopeless are no longer dead. They're alive. They're alive. I have one invitation for you today, one way that I'm inviting you to respond. My invitation is this: come alive. Come encounter Jesus, who will give you the best life that you could ever imagine, who will make you on the inside be able to say, this is why I'm living, this is why I'm breathing, who will make you on the inside, like I was as a little boy scooting, pretending I'm Terminator, who will make you on the inside come alive. Here's what I want us to do. I just want every eye closed right now. We're gonna create a space for you to respond to this. We could dim those lights in the back too. I just sense that Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is holding out his hand and saying, listen, I have an adventure for you. I have a life, an exciting life. I have a full life available for you. And the only thing you really need to do is grab my hand. You don't have to be an expert of the Bible. You don't even have to pretend to be a good person. All you have to do is take my hand. And I love that the disciples' initiation process in Jesus' life wasn't like a five-part interview, screening session. Jesus' onboarding process for the disciples was this: come and follow me. And they followed. And listen, it's that simple. If you want to experience life, I'm here to tell you that the one who can give you life and life to the full is here stretching out his hand for you. And he's saying you don't have to work for it. All you have to do is follow me.